So, for the final talk of this day in this track, we have Günther Deschner and Andreas Schneider talking about printing, something everybody wants.
Yeah, hello. So, my name is Günther Deschner. This is my colleague Andreas. We both work for Red Hat. We both work on Samba. We both were at SUSE in the past. So, yeah, whatever. Kind of familiar faces, I think. Yeah, so we want to report a little bit about the progress of printing in Samba 4. There has been some changes caused by new Windows releases that we need to react on. There have been some restructuring going on with the release of Samba 4 and the inclusion of the good old Samba 3 print server. And I think Andreas will start with the first slides and to talk a little bit about the new features of Samba 4.
Danke, ich hab schon. Hello. First, I will do the part about the current state, talk about what we worked on, and about some new features we have in Samba 4.0, which somehow are also in 3.6, but in 4.0 they are fully supported. So first, there is a how-to about how to report bugs. So if you discover any bug, remember this URL, look at this document, and then please go to our Bugzilla and report the bugs. It should help you to understand what we need to know. I'm maintaining this, and it is also important if you find printing bugs, then please take a look at this and then report the bug. Okay, first we have a really, really nice feature which was broken for a long time, and we finally fixed it again. You can disable SpoolSS again. Probably useful if you have only a file server and don't want to do any SpoolSS and don't load all the things which are involved there, so you can disable it. And this works again. We made sure that it is reliable. So we have last year and 2 years ago, we did a lot of code refactoring. This happened in 3.6, and more has been done, which is now in 4.0. So for 3.6, we rewrote SpoolSS to use WinRAG pipe or the WinRAG protocol and removed some really old TDBs. And we wanted to have something reliable, well-tested, and a common interface which is set in stone and will not change in the future. So if we change the registry implementation, it still will work because we use RPC WinRAG calls for this. We have rewritten the Lanman and printing protocol, which is also known as RAP, which goes now completely through SpoolSS. The idea was to have much better testing of this code. And when I wrote or rewrote several parts of SpoolSS, Günther was doing a lot of work on writing tests so that this code is tested and we find a huge amount of bugs. And with these tests, we discovered new stuff which was not supported, broken since a long time. So it was really a progress of improving and fixing bugs in the code. There were no really important new features in there. It was really just doing a cleanup. If you migrate from an older version of Samba to a newer version like 3.6 or 4.x, then the old printing TDBs get automatically converted to the new registry implementation we have in there. It shouldn't be any problem, but we learned that there are still people out there who has Latin 1 TDBs. And then our conversion assumes that it is already UTF Unicode and will fail. So we created a feature in our net printing migrate command, which does it manually. We just did it for testing, and it has now an encoding option. And if you have a Latin 1 TDB, you can now specified the encoding of the TDB. So this is the code page for LatTIN 1, and then you can migrate them manually, and the conversion from Latin to Unicode is done by this tool. That's pretty new. I mean, I wrote the code several weeks ago. So if someone from a really old TDB wants to migrate, then he can use this one. Then we improved the Linux printing queue daemon, which is also known as background process former times. We did a lot of work in 4.0, and just some, I think, 1 or 2 weeks ago, David Disseldorp ported back more or less some of the work to 3.6 because we had bugs in there. But I will talk about LPQ daemon in the next slide. So the LPQ daemon, that's a background task which cares about the Linux printing system. At the moment, or now in 4.0 and also in 3.6, it's the only process which updates the printing cache. In former times, we had often several processes starting to update it, and there were conflicts, and it was slow, and we had really much problem. So we just moved it to this one daemon, and only this one is doing the update. And if it's done, it will notify all other daemons, and then they are updating their cache entries and what they know about it. So if you start SMBD the first time, then everything will just work. Maybe you won't see any printers, but it will already work, and after some time, as soon as the cache is updated, they get notified and will show the updates and printers which are in cups and so on. One thing which is important to know that the Linux printing queue does its task only every 60 seconds. So maybe you know that there is a print cap cache time you can modify. I think the default is 15 minutes. Or something like that, and you can set it down. You can set it to 1, but it will only run every 60 seconds, because that's when the Linux printing queue is looking if it has to do a task. If you set it to 0, it will disable it. Setting it to 1 means, or below 60 seconds, means only every 60 seconds it will check if there is something to do. What is totally new and fully working in 4.0 is our spool-ss daemon. What you can see here is we have the main SMB daemon, and the SMB daemon forks a spool-ss master daemon. This is a really, really small daemon, and its task is more or less only to take care that spool-ss D childs are forked or the LPQ daemon is started. And by default, it spawns 5 childs. The master, so it is a really, really simple daemon with a really small memory footprint. More or less nothing of the stuff is initialized. So if you fork from this daemon, it is really fast. It takes only care about forking and killing childs which serve the spool-ss pipe. When such a child is forked, like we have here, then it gets forked, and then the child initializes the daemon, the spool-ss pipe, and is just idling and sitting there and waiting for a connection. This spool-ss child only answers spool-ss requests. So it is SMBD, but it will not handle any SMBD file serving connection. It is only really spool-ss. The advantage here is there were customers having problems that a spool-ss connection was coming in, then we forked a SMB daemon, And then it took some time to initialize the printcap cache and spool.ss and so on. So the client was stalled for some time. And if you have a really, really big printcap cache and it needs to be updated first, it can hang for several seconds. So with this architecture, a spool.ss daemon is already running. It is fully initialized. And if a connection comes in, it can directly start to talk to the daemon and ask information about the printer without any delay. So it is especially a performance improvement. And to enable it, it is pretty easy. At the moment, we haven't enabled it by default, but the plan is to have it enabled maybe in 4.1. But it would be great if you could test it and turn it on. If you find bugs, please report them, and we will make sure that it gets fixed. It is already pretty stable, but it can be a little bit tuned and improved. But we already use it. We use the same technology already in Free IPA, so we have testing about this stuff already, and the more we get, the more we can make sure that it works flawlessly.
Andreas, is this actually the configuration in AutoBuild? I always forget. That we test?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is tested in AutoBuild already by default. So there are several settings you can change. So by default, the minimum children to be pre-forked, also already there waiting to serve a connection, are by default 5. You can define the maximum children which are pre-forked, which is set to 25. And we have a spawn rate of 5. This means if a connection comes in, and let's say this child here serves the connection of the client coming in, then the spawn rate is 5, and we will fork 5 more clients so that there are more available, that if more connections come in, then we already have more childs available. This it still can be a little bit tuned, but these are at the moment the default values, and it worked pretty well. Then we have one spool.ss daemon is not only there to serve just one connection, it can also serve several connections. So we allow a maximum of 100 clients to connect to one spool.ss client. And normally, if just one connection comes in and we fork 5 more, and no other connections comes in, then there will be 10 childs available, and they will be there for at least 60 seconds until the spool.ss master will start to kill them away, because it's waste of memory, and if there are no connections coming in, there is no need that they are running. So after the shortest lifetime of a child, idling child is 60 seconds. If it idles for 60 seconds, no other connection comes in, and there are still enough available to serve connections, and we will start to kill them again. So we are really fast at spawning new childs, but slow at killing them, which should make sure that we have always enough available if a connection burst comes in, so a lot of clients start to connecting, that we have enough childs there which are already initialized and waiting to serve a connection. The variables for this are these, and this is an example. You can only just have one spool.ss child which serves all connections. And this would be the example. I mean, you can change with this variable, you can change the minimum children and the maximum. So here we set it to 1, so only one child will be available, but this one child can serve 100 connections. It makes it sometimes easier to just let these values, and then you can debug the childs easier, because you know there will be only one child, and you only have to attach to just this child GDB, for example. And this is more or less not evaluated if there is only one client. So this is how you can change the variables, and if you have a lot of printing connections and see that it doesn't behave very well, you can start tuning the prefork daemon with these variables, and then if you find better values, then please report back, and then we can create documentation for it, what is a best practice for a special use case, or just change our defaults to from your experience. Some minor things and other stuff we changed. One problem was that the driver directories, if you want to install Windows drivers or store Windows drivers on SMBD, which then are asked by the client and installed, we didn't create the default directories for these driver directories, and you needed to do it manually, or the packages have to take care of it. So now, if there is no directory, we will just create them for you, and if you change permissions on it, we will never touch it again, because normally you change the user or use force user to do any changes there. So now we create them by, during SMBD startup. Something we fixed this year was the support for Windows 8. So Windows 8 has a new driver protocol, version number 4. We don't support that yet. We only support version 3, but we correctly downgrade to version 3 if Windows 8 requests version 4 and version 3 is available on the print server. Then we provide just these this driver to the Windows 8 client, and it will normally install it and can use it. And what I already said is the same technology used is in the LSA service daemon we created, which is serving the LSA RPC SAMR and not netlog on pipe. This can be just enabled the same way as you enable spoolss. You just need to change here the spoolss name against LSA service daemon, and here it is the same. And then we use this in free IPA to create the cross-forest trusts. So spoolss was the playground to test the pre-forking stuff, and LSA daemon was then what we created next after spoolss was working correctly. So the next part is by Günther, and he will give you some update about the new printing protocol.
Yeah. I don't need this, I think. Okay, just before we start, does anybody has any questions for Windows 8 printer driver support or any experiences maybe even? Because it's really a very interesting and apparently also large change where they kind of gave up the whole model of that clients upload printer drivers for different architectures and other clients pick them up. So it's actually meant to make things much more simpler and just install a driver once, and then to give clients, at least modern Windows 8 clients, kind of generic drivers and then some special kind of a config file that informs them about the printer properties, including the formatting of that printer API and these sorts of things. But apparently it kind of really makes the usefulness of Samba for providing printer drivers for different architectures and different clients and operating systems useless. But we haven't really found a good way yet to integrate that version 4 model. And for that reason, we just, when a client comes up and asks for a V4 printer driver, we just fall back and report that we just have a V3 driver. And apparently, at least in our testing, Windows 8 was happy and kept on downloading the printer and used that. So, but if no one else has any more interesting things to contribute to Windows 8 and experiences, then we will leave this up for the future. All right, so there is a new printing protocol already established a couple of years ago. I think it was it came with Vista at the time, and we never really took a closer look for this. We never really understood actually the need for it. And also there were some technical limitations why we couldn't really make it useful for the, at the time, only existing SAML 3 print server, because it was using some DCE RPC features that we were not supporting at all, like TCP transport and these sorts of things. So it was never really required to look at the protocol. But we have started to do this right now. So there's a new protocol. It's called a print system asynchronous remote protocol. While the old one that you all know, or don't know, but that you all use, is the print system remote protocol. There's the abbreviation from the Microsoft specification, MSRPRN. It's all better known as SpoolSS, which is really the name of the name pipe interface that the clients use when they access a print server. So this is still the core and the default that's always running if you install a modern Windows version, even with Windows 2012. And that's, of course, still used and available to all the clients. There are some serious design flaws from early on. Like we mentioned in many other talks before, it's really a very badly designed protocol that was, I think, never really supposed to be put on the wire because it has horrible semantics, whatever. If a client wants to get a description of a printer, then whatever, it will send 1,024 nulls to the server, and the server will return the 1,024 nulls, just including the comment name. So it has really no really good concept of saving the network traffic and to just be efficient. So it has some horrible limitations. But even more serious are this limitation that clients are only able to use this protocol synchronously. So if they, if you look at the network trace when you whatever open just the printer and you look at a couple of properties, you will see a tremendous amount of traffic that is generated for really just a very simple amount of information that is retrieved by the client. And this is all due to the nature of how this protocol is designed on the Windows desktop and how it is used. All these methods are called serialized one after each other. There's no parallelization or nothing at all. And apparently it came such a serious issue, making printing in Windows itself so painful that there was enough motivation to create this new protocol. One other thing, and that's actually for us, for SAML, the primary motivation to look at this protocol are change notifications. Change notifications are very often used. Actually, they transport most of the information you see on the client when you open a printer. If you look at existing print jobs, if you want to see whatever is the, if the printer has gone out of paper or something like that, this is all done with a whole bunch of RPC calls and some specific messages called change notifications. And they are implemented in this old protocol in a way that the client actually also needs to provide its own print server, which then gets contacted by the other print server, of course, including all possible problems that we will see a little bit later. So there's this new protocol. It's a kind of a subset of the old protocol. It inherits pretty much all these horrible semantics of putting or exposing printing data on the network. So the messages or these types are all pretty much the same. The number of calls is a little bit less, so they whatever removed apparently some calls which have really become obsolete by this old protocol, which is really around since a long time. So instead of 130 methods, it just implements 72 methods. All in all, it just covers the full range of operations that you need to do on a print server, including job management, driver management, port management, all these things, they are all still there. There are some, as I already mentioned, some specific properties, like it only works over the NCACN IP TCP transport. If you look on the network, when you see this protocol between Windows servers, they always use 64-bit NDR encoding. That's also something SAML 3 never had in the past. That's just something that got available with the release of SAML 4. So we can support this as well, although the old 32-bit NDR encoding is supported as well. And in addition, it uses a very specific thing of DCE RPC, which are object IDs, which is basically pretty much the insertion of a UID field in a specific place in each RPC packet, in addition to what would normally be sent And apparently this is the only interface that Xamarin will support that uses this feature. So it took me a while to figure this out. So to come back to this, to the mess of change notifications in the old protocol. So what happens if a client goes to a print server, browses his network, finds a print server, opens a printer, and wants to see if whatever there are lots of print jobs going on or whatever. Just this printer box is open. So if that is the case, then the client will have registered at the print server to receive notifications. It would give would have given a list of properties that the client would be interested in. Like, for example, it could just be interested in job information or only in driver changes or something like that. And if the client successfully registered at the Windows machine, at the print server, then the server, the client also sends his own host name. Then the server will use this host name to call back to open a back channel connection. And this is, of course, a very fragile thing, in particular if you think of modern Windows versions that have a firewall enabled by default, which might just block the entire TCP/IP traffic. And then also, when the server is calling back to you, it somehow needs to authenticate. It just needs to claim identity. And as in Windows, it has always been, this is just done anonymously. So the client has to offer a spoolless interface where other clients can access anonymously. So this is, of course, something really fragile and something really avoidable. And this was the primary motivation for this protocol. So, as modern Windows don't support this, of course, they stopped this anonymous access on the spoolless pipe, and they also block accesses for new TCP connections to the RPC server locally, by default at least, unless you configure differently. The only chance to actually receive this the changes on an open printer object on this box that you will see on your desktop is basically that you need to press F5 and you constantly need to refresh the windows, and then the information can be fully retrieved in a normal way. But change notifications just won't work. So it was probably a little bit abstract, so I tried to show it a little bit more in the graphic. Maybe it's a little bit more obvious. So on the left side, you would have whatever the client, let's say an XP workstation or something like that. On the right side, there's the server, let it be whatever, a Windows 2008 R2 server. And that's the sequence of calls. The client will go to the server and open a printer or the print server itself. And with that handle, it will do the second call, the spoolless remote find first printer change notify X, beautiful name, for registering specific notification events. And then if the server will immediately call back to the client, and the client really has to expose his own print server, his own spoolless pipe to the print server, accessible anonymously. And yeah, then there will be a reply open printer. And then if one of these notification events actually takes place, the server will send the notifications via this call, the spoolless router reply printer X. So this has been the design up to Windows XP or something, and this is the sequence of calls that Xamba was also using, causing a lot of problems, actually. I think we invented a couple of years ago an option where you can actually completely disable this calling back mechanism, because it's also problematic for us as RPC server if we try to call back to the clients and the clients just won't allow or won't accept this connection. So we had a lot of dangling open connections around there which were timing out and all sorts of problems. And so we added an smbconf option where you could say, I think it's change printer change notify equals no or something, if I'm not mistaken. Right, so in this new protocol, things are a little bit different. So in PAR, the client, of course, also has to go to the server and to register for these change notifies, open a printer handle, all these things as well. And then the client will just ask, okay, I'm interested in printer driver changes or print job changes or something like that. And then the client won't receive a reply immediately. So there will be just a synchronous mechanism effective, that the connection will be kept open I haven't found out yet until what time, so there will be timeouts, of course, and some reconnection mechanism, I guess. But the server just won't reply until really such an event has taken place. And the client is just happy because both the client and the server, they can deal with asynchronous DC-RPC packets and all problems solved. So the client does not need to expose any either his address or his own print server or something like that. So it makes things much cleaner. So this is kind of the graphical way. So you see all the arrows, they just go into one direction. All the requests are just going from the client to the server, and the server will only send back replies, but the server on its own will never try to get in touch with the client by itself. Of course, the critical bit, and that's also the main obstacle that we have right now here, is how do we as Samba implement this mechanism of just waiting until a specific event takes place, and then still remember what client contacted us and sent their reply back. So, sorry? Yeah, that's also the other question I need to research a little bit more. Yeah. Okay, but that's the basic concept of this synchronous protocol. Now, how do we support this? So I just saw these packages flying around a little bit. Took me a while to actually find, to realize that we have a lot of wonderful documentation provided by Microsoft, of course. Because if you look at Wireshark and you see these packages, Wireshark won't be able to do anything with it. So they're just an unknown protocol, just RPC packets that Wireshark can't really show you. So I started with the documentation and also to find the perfect match to the implementation that we also already have in SpoolSS. And all the other missing bits and pieces we have, like we have NCACN IPTCP transport, we have NDR64 encoding, and with some small patches that I still need to give to Metze, we also have support for object IDs. So I have some basic, very basic testing utilities that I'm currently working on that test this protocol and see if everything is going smooth. As the long-term thing, I think that if we manage to fully implement all these calls and to really have a better knowledge of how this reconnection logic and so forth is, this time it would really make sense to provide maybe a library even for whatever other applications, maybe even desktop components or something like that, to really make use of this feature. Because in the past, it was almost impossible to offer such an interface because whatever, if you think about GNOME being interested in Windows Print Servers and maybe even receiving notifications, then there would have been a requirement to build an extreme bizarre layering of a print server that whatever runs in GNOME and would be able to receive the notifications and things like that. So something next to impossible. But with this new protocol, it's actually a rather simple thing. So if you just have an RPC library and you have a library for this protocol, just make it useful and to work with it. So maybe that's one of the ideas. Of course, I can't guarantee that we will have this library soon, but maybe somebody's interested to look into this as well. So on the server side, and that's actually also my last slide, as I mentioned, things are a little bit different. We already have some very basic asynchronous DCE RPC server model, but just in Samba 4, as far as I realized that, while the Samba 3 SpoolSS server is the print server we ship with Samba 4. So there are still some things to be cleaned up and to be merged before we can actually really benefit from this. And we just had a couple of conversations with other Samba team members, how we can actually come to a fully asynchronous DCE RPC server, which is available to all the services that we offer in Samba 4, including the old and the new printing protocol. And yeah, this is the main obstacle stopping us to implement this at the moment. All the other things, as I mentioned already, we have endpoint mapper, we have NDR 64-bit support if the client is relying on this. And actually mapping the calls of the new protocol to the old protocol This is something we can rather easily achieve. We have already a lot of magic and usage of macros in our print server, so that's a task we can easily achieve. So this will be a feature that probably won't be ready for 4.1, but I think it's definitely something worth to provide for later Samba versions. Right, so this was a short report of this new protocol and the new changes in printing in Samba 4. Do you have any questions? Andreas.
Does the server client protocol still send megabytes of zeros?
Yeah, sure. They still do the same insane thing. So, yeah. Don't change a proven technology. So, yeah. I was actually really surprised why they did that, but apparently they also wrapped the new protocol around the old one and used the same print server underlying and, yeah. For some bizarre reasons, although the small modifications, the small additions that they made, they are all sanely IDL-based formatted structures, which are much easier to deal with.
Can you describe your load setup for your explosives?
What do you mean?
All that you found, you said you found that the spawn rate. How did you arrive at that? What was your setup?
We were running SMB Torture a little bit and then tuned it so that looked fine. And then actually, I think it were some real tests with LSA Service Daemon. And we tuned the numbers there. And I think this was last year at the IO lab where Simo was working on it and then fixed bugs, sec faults we had still in there. But at the moment, it looks pretty good and stable.
Some other questions? No one? Okay, then thanks a lot.